All right, we're back with another valuable and actionable episode of the Marketing Automation Discussion. My co-host is here with me to discuss in detail setup and proper strategy for new cold email campaigns. We go into record verification, sender accounts, how to ensure high deliverability, open rates, click rates, and proper maintenance for cold email longevity. Curran, say hey and please give us the context for our discussion.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to be back. Thank you, Alex, for having me again. What I want to share today, first of all, is the importance of high open rate. First of all, a low open rate will directly impact the potential of the data set that you're using to do your campaigns. And in turn, obviously, the results of the campaign will also be lower. Now, let me illustrate that with an example. Let's say that you email 100 people and only 10% of them opened your message. That basically means that 90% of the email, 90% of the people that you emailed cannot even be considered for any kind of conversion. They didn't see your message. Yeah. And let's say from those 10, two replied to you. Now, if you would take that same data set and do a lot of action that we will discuss later on in this episode and increase the open rate to 20 or 30% with the same conversion from open to reply, you'd be getting somewhere between 4 and 6 replies. Yeah. So the open rate is pretty much the first barrier, or let's say the first door that you need to open, no pun intended, to get a very, very good end conversion rate. So not just the delivery to open or prospect to open, but rather prospect to call set or some, or whatever your end conversion metric is. Yeah, so I hand it back to you now, Alex.
Great. Now let's kind of set the stage for our listeners by referring to a specific scenario we're advising on actually this morning. In this situation, the domain name we are about to send campaigns from is brand new, as in no emails have ever been sent. Before any emails are sent, we urge listeners to do the following. Number one, create a Google Apps or Outlook account for this new domain. Curran will explain more on why we recommend sending through your email account as opposed to a third-party server. Step two, authenticate all records. We'll mention those. Number three, send a test email to mail-tester.com, easy free tool, to ensure all records are in place. Note, if you are risking sending through an ESP like SendGrid, you should not start cold emailing under a new domain until you have fully warmed up multiple IPs under that ESP and have sent a lot of warm emails that have very little unsubs and no spam complaints before you start sending through a third party. But if you have a Google Apps account or Outlook account for this new domain, you have circumvented this. Now, step four, connect this Google Apps account or this Outlook account to your cold email platform. I stress cold email platform in this statement because you do not want to send cold emails from a platform not created for that purpose, i.e. customer.io, SendGrid, MailChimp, Yesware, Constant Contact, what have you. These are all purposed for newsletters, drips, customer emails, not purposed for cold emails. We do discuss in a previous episode, and I'll show it here on screen, the top 5 platforms specifically created for cold emailing and the differences between each. Okay, so before we dive into strategy, let's talk real quick about the causes of low deliverability. In my experience, low deliverability can be caused by a few factors. Number one, negative sender reputation. This accumulates over time. Sender reputation is an indication of the trustworthiness of an email sender's IP address and sending domain. Now, high complaint rates. Keeping your subscriber complaint rate low is crucial to maintaining a positive sender reputation. Complaints like unsubscribes and blocks, these reduce your sender reputation. Now, getting listed on blacklists, of course, blacklist listing will reduce your sender reputation. For removal, Curran will actually speak to this and we'll show a link here in the notes and in the article. If you're reading, go ahead and check the steps to removal from a blacklist. list. Now, number two, poor list quality. This will lower your deliverability. Never, ever buy a pre-built list. Someone's trying to sell you 10,000 emails from XYZ type of customer. Do not buy it. Make sure you are focusing on developing your own list through ad hoc data research and enrichment. Now, number three, lack of email authentication will lower your deliverability. Authentication allows the receiver of an email and the mailbox provider to confirm the identity of the sender. If the identity of the sender cannot be authenticated, mailbox providers may reject the message or put it through additional filters to determine whether it should be delivered. Now, DKIM, Domain Keys Identification Mail, is a TXT record published in your domain name system, your DNS. DKIM uses keys to make sure an email sender is who they say they are. Now, DMARC TXT records, DMARC records. Now, these are not necessary, but they do help validate the origin of the email message by verifying the IP address of an email's author against the alleged owner of the sending domain. Now, DMARC enables the message sender to indicate that their message is protected with SPF and or DKIM. Now, DMARC policy applies clear instructions for the message receiver to follow if and when the email does not pass SPF or DKIM authentication, for instance, reject or junk, etc. Now, your CRM should suggest when you go to add a new domain that you have a DKIM record in your DNS before they allow you to send from that domain. Some even require it. Now that we have the setup complete, what do you suggest they do to ensure continued success in their cold email campaigning?
Yeah. Alex, first of all, to add on to some of the points that you mentioned, once you are, let's say you made some mistakes and you did get into some blacklists, the first step there is really find out. Let's say if you are having a open rate of about 30-40% and all of a sudden it plummeted to about 5-10%, something went wrong. It's not just that your subject was horrible or something like that. It's something happened, you got on blacklist or something like that. So go and check it out. And one of the tools that I recommend there is MX Tools. You can do an analysis of your website, your web domain, and they'll also tell you any other errors that are in your setup, and they will also provide you a list of blacklists that you're on. And each blacklist has a different way of removal. So you would need to get in touch. Each blacklist will have certain instructions that you need to follow in order to be removed. The good news is of course that you can be removed. It's not a permanent status, and so you can take some actions in removing yourself from blacklists, and then see your open rates go up again. The other thing that I would mention about DMARC, and this is something that is not very known, is if you set up DMARC wrongly, it's going to provide you with a lot of soft bounces. I'll discuss that in my next point. But if you are going to set up your DMARC, which is good for you, make sure that you do it extremely well. A DMARC that you set up, let's say, not so well could actually have a negative impact on your open rate by causing a lot of soft bounces, depending on the policy that you set up. Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that I wanted to speak about right from the start is something that is related to your data. Bounce rate is going to be a very, very key factor in your overall deliverability rate. And when we're discussing bounce rates, we can differentiate two different kind of bounces. One is called a soft bounce. The other is called hard bounce. Now, soft bounce occurs for a variety of reasons, ranging from that the message that you sent was rejected because your rating was too low, or the recipient's inbox was full, or your DMARC setup was so harsh that any kind, or let's say the threshold of your DMARC message was so low that your message are being rejected as per the instructions of your DMARC, and list continues and so forth and so on. It could also be that the email is automatically internally forwarded to another person without ever being reached the intended end recipient. Yeah, so these are all soft bounces. They do impact your open rate. Yeah. For example, let's say you emailed 100 people and there were 10 soft bounces. These people will never open your email because they never received your email in their inbox. So from the 90 people that did receive your email, they have a chance to see your body by opening the email. Then there are other factors which I will be discussing in a bit that impact that further. Then we talk about hard bounces, which are even more detrimental to your continued success in cold emailing. Let me define what a hard bounce is. First of all, a hard bounce is where you have the email address of the person wrong, or let's say the domain in the email address is wrong, or the email is wrongly formatted. All comes to the same thing. You have a wrong email address, whether it's spelled wrongly or it's simply the wrong structure of the email, doesn't matter. You have the wrong email. Now, what happens is it impacts the campaign performance in the exact same way as a soft bounce. Simply, those people never got to see your email. But what it does on top, what a soft bounce does not do, is that it communicates a particular low quality on your server side about your email is that you're using low quality data, which gives you a score. And if this score is keep on getting lower and lower and lower, your spam rating, your overall spam rating of your domain is increased. So basically what happens is if you are having a consistent bounce rate of about 15 to 20%, you are going to see a decrease in the overall open rates that you have because your domain rating will decrease. The health, the reputation of your domain will decrease. So even though the soft bounces are detrimental to the performance of your campaign, hard bounces are detrimental to the performance of all campaigns that you're doing, not just the ones that you're doing currently. Right, so very, very important to keep the bounce rate as low as possible. I recommend less than 5%. Right, then another factor that will impact the open rate is the sender's email. Are you sending your automated emails from a third party sender, which you spoke about, you know, a little bit earlier in your part, where suppliers such as SendGrid, MailChimp, and so forth and so on are excellent products in their own right, in their own use case. They are meant for mail blast newsletters, B2C kind of mailing where people have subscribed and they want to receive a ton of emails. In that case, they're good. However, where you are trying to establish contact in a cold outreach, with a person, this particular type of a tool doesn't work well. Firstly, it will add information into the message itself, such as signed by and sent on behalf of these kind of things. So, for example, if I would be using a software like SendGrid, it will be sent from SendGrid. However, it would have information that it was sent on my behalf. It was sent on my email's behalf. Yeah. So that's very, very important. Yeah. So the other thing is, of course, whether or not you're going to use an alias versus an actual user. So let's say you're on Google Suite or on Microsoft 365. There you will have a user that is assigned to you and that user has an email. When you are emailing people, you should use that user because there are certain metrics that you need to keep in mind. The email address that you're using yourself has incoming traffic, meaning that there are people actually sending you emails. You're not just using it for outbound. You're also using for inbound emails. This kind of email address has a higher authority, higher rating than an email that is only sending emails outwards, or where the proportion of the incoming emails is very, very low compared to the outgoing emails. Therefore, the best strategy that you can use to keep your open rates high is to use the email that you're operating, because you'll be getting emails from your colleagues, you'll be getting emails from your customers, you'll be getting, if you're a salesperson, you'll be getting emails from a lot of different people, but you'll also be sending emails outwards. Yeah. So the tip there is to use your primary mailbox to actually send these emails. Alias, the case against Alias emails can be made simply by saying that once you do the handover, you'll break the spell, that this was fully manually or human written content that I have been sending. Simply when you go from, you know, John, JS at domain to john.smith at domain, you will tell the other person that I have been targeting you, with an automatic outreach. And this could result in a drop off or let's say fall off in positive reply to call set. Yeah. So you also need to think ahead in the sales funnel. How can you, prevent later on fall off? Is to keep the entire process, streamlined. And you do that by using your primary emails. Then recipient's email is very, very important. Yeah. Where you have, either the direct email of that person, the private email of that person, which is like on a free mailer such as Google, Gmail or Yahoo or GMX. There are plenty of them out there. Or a role-based email. I would recommend against emailing private emails and role-based emails and only targeting people on their direct corporate email. And there are very good reasons for that. Role-based emails are mostly not monitored by a person. They're not responsible for a particular role-based email. So you really want to try to target that person. It could be that one role-based email is being opened and used by several different people. So you might not even reach the intended party. Even though it may be an open, it's probably not the right open. So why would you waste all that time that you used or money that you used to get the data if you're not going to target the right person? Now, private emails I wouldn't use because simply in many countries, they're against the law. You cannot target people in their private email addresses. And in the long run, this will be against your overall performance if you're not targeting people in the direct corporate email addresses. So far we have discussed mainly about the data itself. Let's switch towards the content side. So the subject line is the first thing that the person, the recipient will see when your email comes into their inbox. So let's say you avoided the spam folder. You're now in their inbox. Now there, the subject line that you have is going to impact the rate at which people open, and secondly, the rate at which if they open, they're not negatively surprised. So I'm making a distinction here between subject lines which are good versus subject lines that are clickbait. Yeah, clickbait subject lines may have a very high open rate, but in the end, you're really going to anger some people because they might feel cheated. Yeah, and you don't want to have that because you're really setting a very, very, a horrible start of a relationship, and it's not going to result in the actual metric that is important to you, which is positive reply rate. Yeah, so the subject line should indicate the content of the email. And the content of the email, of course, should be valuable, should be personally relevant and conversational. It shouldn't be salesy or marketing oriented. And so these two things are very, very important when you're creating the copy of the email as well as the subject line. Yeah. Then there are certain things that you can't do much about, which is a target market. The target market very much has a particular, let's say, a noise of other competitors that are targeting the same market, and also the propensity to answer emails. Now, let me give you two examples. One example would be front-facing departments, marketing, sales, business development, general management, and so forth. And on the other hand, let's say the back end of the business, where it's operations and software development, engineering, architecture, and so forth and so on. Now, even though the front-facing guys, they are more used to receiving emails and they may have higher noise, they may be more likely to open because they themselves send the emails as well. So they know what this is all about. As long as you can differentiate yourself from the noise, you will have good open rate. On the other hand, if you're targeting, IT managers and other such people that don't necessarily receive a lot of emails from outside the organization, they have a lot of internal traffic. They might not even see your email as important, They might only be responding to emails that are with the prefix urgent or something like that. So you really need to test out whether or not your market has a particular appetite for receiving emails or not. So you can't compare one market with another. So we have a bunch of customers ranging from different markets, and some of our customers are happy with an open rate of 40%, and the others are, you know, surprised that it's low or something like that. So it really depends on the market that you're targeting. Then the behavior of your emailer is important as well. So when you are sending the email, the schedule of that is going to impact the open rates. And that happens because if you're sending too many emails in a short period of time, let's say you sent 500 emails in an hour, that's humanly impossible. No human can do that. Therefore, servers also see that as such, that this is an automated mailing. You automatically, each of those emails automatically gets a low rating, or let's say if you turn it around, a higher spam rating. And it could be that just let's try to put a number on it. Let's say you got a spam rating of 35 and you targeted 100 different servers because you targeted 100 different people. And from those 100 different servers, about 50 of them had the threshold of 30. You're not entering those inboxes. You're going directly into spam folder. So that this is one of the ways your outgoing server, which wants to obviously make sure that you're not doing spammy, outreach, will give your email a score. If that spam score is too high, you will hit more the thresholds of spam and go into spam. The same goes for the period between email one and email two and email two and email three. If the period is less than 6 seconds or 10 seconds. Again, it's very, very difficult for a human to do that. However, if the period is long enough, let's say you put like 2 minutes, 120 seconds between email one and the next email is sent 120 seconds later, you would have a lower spam rating. Let's say you take it one step further where you have not just a bigger period between, but it's actually also random. Let's say it's 120 seconds, plus a random percentage every time, which further makes you look human, decreases your spam rating even further. Then you have the sending volume, per day. This is not just in the period, but also per day. If you are sending, even if you're sending across different, with big interval in the middle, if you're sending 1,000 emails a day, you're going to run into spam folders as well, because normal mailboxes are simply not set up to have that kind of volume. And a normal human being cannot really handle those kind of volumes as well. So when you take all of these parts together, keeping the bounce rate low, sending it from your primary email address, sending it to their corporate email address, having a good subject line that represents the content of the email in a sincere, honest, and personalized way, having the content of the message as valuable, personally relevant, and conversational, and not salesy. Don't use a lot of spam triggery words, which are so often used by other bad practiced outreachers. You're going to be parked in the same kind of group as them. Targeting the market in the way that they're supposed to be targeted, having a good sending schedule with a good sending volume, all together, basically just acting as if you're human, setting up your automation in a way that is kind of replicating a very human behavior. Now, all those together will keep your open rate very high. And typically what we see with the customer group that we have is between 40 and 70. And what I understand from the industry average is around, I think, 27 or 33%, if I'm just, taking it from the top of my head right now. Yeah. So back to you, Alex.
To recap, just from the top to the bottom, the first step, you want to make sure to verify the new domain, set up all the records correctly. Make sure you're sending from the appropriate type of platform. Don't send cold emails from a platform not built for cold emailing. Make sure after you've authenticated that the data that you're going to send to is quality data. It's enriched and built for the purpose of the email campaign. Once you have compliant data, you have SPF records and everything actually in place and verified, then you can go ahead and start writing quality message copy, focus on the customer, keep it about them, make sure you're using a lot of dynamic text, a lot of customized text in the messaging, make sure the send schedule is on point. You don't want to send too much too soon. And then obviously the sending volume total per month, you want to keep at a reasonable amount between 25 and 100 per day. Again, you do not want to go after volume to get your sales and replies. Go after quality first and volume as quality becomes more and more on point. And you can get higher volume, not necessarily by sending more emails from one email address. You can actually get higher volume just by adding more email addresses underneath your Google Apps account or your Outlook account and sending from those new personas. That should do it. That's another great episode of the Marketing Automation Discussion. Thank you all for joining in, and I look forward to sharing more details and more automations soon. Thank you, Curran.
Thank you, Alex. Take care.